Hey, everybody. You know, Mark and I have over 20 years of experience as therapists and as addicts in long-term successful recovery. We know better than anyone what works and what doesn't to break out of porn and sex addiction, heal betrayal trauma, and reclaim your relationship.
And we've poured all of our personal and professional recovery and healing experience into a first-of-its-kind program for addicts, spouses, and couples. We call it Dare to Connect.
At least four times every week, we engage with you in real time, in the trenches, giving you the knowledge and the tools to take back your life and relationship.
Whatever else you've done on your journey for healing and recovery, you've never done anything like this.
You know, Mark and I, we've made all the mistakes, so you don't have to. Don't reinvent the wheel.
We all know tomorrow never comes. Look, don't wait one more day to change. Claim your free two-week trial today at daretoconnectnow.com.
Hey, everybody. I'm Steve Moore.
And I'm Mark Castleman.
We know the pain and heartbreak of porn and sex addiction.
And we know the triumph of breaking completely free.
Every day, we help our clients find hope and healing.
Join us in the fight to take back your life, your marriage, and be stronger than ever.
This is the PBSC Squared Podcast.
Hey, everybody, Mark and Steve with you again this week. So Steve and I were chatting right before this podcast, and we were kind of comparing therapy notes, as we will sometimes do, and discovered that one of the things we've been facing lately is a lot of issues with the couples that we're working with. A lot of couples in crisis, a lot of couples who have been stuck in a rut for so long that they just feel so hopeless that they can never change, they can never get out of this, that anything will ever be different. And is there light at the end of the tunnel? And so we wanted to talk about that today. If you're a couple and you're finding that you're struggling with a lot of these issues, how do you go forward? Is it worth the effort? Can we really do this? And so we're gonna hone in on that for the next few minutes and just talk about it. And so, Steve, I know that you don't care about this at all. There's no passion in you about this.
No.
So let's have you start.
Well, it's just like every week, man. I'm just kind of here, and I never take anybody off or anything. Yeah, I appreciate our discussion this morning. Always preparing for our podcast, as you guys know, we do this in real time, and so we don't record episodes terribly far out. Sometimes it's even the same. It's uploaded a day after we do it, and such is the case this week. I've been noticing a pattern as well, and I don't know if I think there are a lot of factors involved, but I've seen a lot of what Mark is talking about. And I'll tell you, though, for coupleships that are stuck in this place, not just for the coupleship itself, but also for the therapist or other people involved, the longer you stay stuck there, the more exhausting the process becomes. Yeah. The more difficult it becomes to deal with. I'm thinking of a couple that I worked with years ago who they actually ended up coming to see me on two separate stints of time. And when I met with them last, they were still struggling and still in a place very much of what we're describing here. We did a lot of work about boundaries and lots of other things, but they found themselves continually coming back to this place of defaulting to old habits, right? Old ways of communicating. Old ways of talking to each other, old ways of showing up in the relationship. And there were real legitimate reasons for that. But as long as we stay stuck in that place, again, therapy becomes exhausting and frustrating. The recovery process begins to halt. And the longer we stay in that place, the longer we actually are moving our marriage or our relationships closer to some sort of end. So yeah. I'm glad we're talking about this today. There's lots to cover.
Yeah. And as I look back at couples I've worked with recently and going back over the years, a really common thing that happens is couples are so accustomed to the way they've done things. In most cases with the couples I work with for decades of marriage, and they just get to the place where they, frankly, it becomes a mystery, so to speak. They'll come and report to me and say, you know, we started to have a discussion. We tried to do what you said. And before we even knew what was happening, we were in the same old thing, yelling at each other and getting upset. And one was shutting down and the other was angry. And how does that happen? Why do we keep falling into that place? It's like we have no control over ourselves.
Yeah.
And they just get so frustrated and fatigued and exhausted by the process until finally they just throw their hands up in the air and say, you know what, this is just never going to work. We don't even know how to do this.
Absolutely. Well, and I'm hoping that today what people are going to take is, as in many of our episodes, is that, you know, all you listeners are going to be able to not have to reinvent the wheel like Mark and I did.
Yes, please.
In this area, because we have been both guilty of this, and it's probably why we're so passionate about the topic when it comes up with clients. We get the whole how hopeless that place can be. I know what it's like to look a therapist in the eye, him telling me that this thing can be different, and I'm just, all I can just see, it's like a watermark going across the top of my vision that just says bullcrap.
I know, right?
In a little more of a vulgar way. And
yeah, like you're like, yeah, that's easy for you to say.
Absolutely. Like we've talked about, you know, our brains are evidence-based, and so it's hard to not just call on the past and say, well, it's always been this way, so therefore it's always going to be, which we'll talk about in a minute. Yeah. But we do want to know, we get you, and we do empathize with you on this issue, because it is hard and it is scary. So let's talk about, for just a second, the first thing that's got to happen, if you're going to deal with an issue like this, then you have to really get real about the underlying issues driving it. When couples come in to see me, for example, and they are using all sorts of toxic levels of engagement, right? Underneath all that toxicity, the name calling, the, you know, the personal attacks, all of those things, underneath that, as I often say, is, to me as a therapist, it's encouraging to have couples in that place, because it shows that on some level, they still care about this relationship. They haven't gotten to a place where it's like, you know, where you get really worried in situations like this is when one person, not from a dramified place or just exhausted, but they just one day just say, I just honestly, I don't want to do this anymore. So underneath that all of that anger and all that stuff is hope, but there are also things driving it, right? And when I think of the thing, one of the big things that drive it would be the fears, right? Yeah. The fears involved with it.
Big time, right? Just, you know, can we make it? Is this going to work out?
Yeah.
Can he or she ever change?
Yeah.
Are we just going to do all this work and then we're going to come to where we were headed anyway?
Can I ever change?
Yeah. Can I ever change? Yeah.
Underneath all that vulnerability, right? I mean, when you get vulnerable about it, and you and I have talked about this, we've shared stories before where we've had to have that conversation with our wives. A lot of the anger that I would vent towards my wife back in this place was actually shame-based and stemming from a place of, you know, this will put us out of our misery by being done, and I'm so horrible. Why could she ever be with me?
Yeah.
It's this sense of just inadequacy, right? Like, I'm never going to be able to be the guy she wants or needs.
Yeah, exactly. And what, you know, what you're talking about is so important in this process, because it's getting all of your fears, we might say the elephants in the room, right out into the open. Yes. Where we're talking about them in a raw and real way. Because if you look at a lot of the times that we fight and argue and things blow up, those are really distraction strategies often from our not being willing to really just say, what is this about? Can we just hit it right between the eyes and just talk real?
Yeah.
And we skirt around it. And that's why you see all of these other, you know, quote, symptoms, right? Anger is a surface emotion, you know, different tactics that we engage in are so that we don't have to face our deepest fears.
Yes. And in a de-escalated place, if you guys are, I wouldn't try to do this, you know, 2 seconds after a fight or into a fight, but this actually is something we didn't talk about beforehand, but it's coming to mind, something that I will often tell clients, you know, it's, there, these clients who are in this position, listeners who are in this position, oftentimes they'll one of the big things they say is, right, I cannot connect with him. I can't.
Yeah, I can't.
I can't. It is impossible, right? And, but see, therein is the dichotomy, is because I will hear usually in a situation where a wife is expressing that, for example, husband's feeling the exact same thing. They're so far distant in terms of beating each other over the head with, you know, different toxic ways of trying to address the problem that they're failing to see that in most cases, what the part, the fears, the scary parts, the reactivity, the hurt, again, in different ways and in different shapes, they actually could empathize on quite a bit. Remember how connection we talked about doesn't always look positive. I know what it's like to look at my wife, and the only thing that we could connect on, I shared the long story before, I won't do it again today, but I know what it's like to look at my wife, and the only thing we're able to connect on is the fact that we both are convinced we're not going to be married at the end of the year.
Yeah, right.
That's the only thing that we, and everything tied to it, right? We're connected on the fact that we're terrified. We're terrified that we're going to lose this. We're terrified that all this effort is going to be for naught. Or we're going to try, we're going to put all this money into it, we're going to spend all this time and energy, and then it won't work. I think most couples on both sides can empathize at least on a baseline with those.
Yeah, and people would say, well, how is that helpful? But if you look at that, we're expending so much energy avoiding that those really hard issues that when you get raw and real with each other and you actually put it out there on the table, you actually find that you have more common ground than you knew. And now we're actually getting to what is really, you know, stirring in my gut. Now yes. I don't have to expend all that energy dancing around it. We're actually, okay, we've said it. Look, we both realized that. Now we can start putting our energy into whether or not we actually want to do something to move forward.
Absolutely.
It's very liberating once you get to those really deep unspoken fears.
Yes, absolutely. No, you're so right. And it is so true. And again, we want to just normalize that, right? The three guiding things that we usually see that guide situations like this, as with many of the issues that we deal with, but kind of more in an extreme fashion with this situation, are, you know, there's three things. There's the fear side of it. There's the shame side of it. And then there's the trauma side of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, minor issues, right? Fear, shame, trauma. Very,
yes.
Very tiny things.
Yes, very little small things, right?
It's like, those aren't going to cause relationship issues.
Well, and so we're not giving the assignment just yet, but if I was to kind of give a lead into it when we talk at the end of the podcast, the first thing you're going to want to do is sit down and individually first, but then as a couple, as you're able to, share that through email, homing pigeon, smoke signal, whatever is safest,
yes.
You know, whatever, and whatever level of dialogue you're at, but take that time to do the work and look at yourself in those three areas. What fears am I carrying about this relationship right now in a vulnerable way, or about myself and the way I show up in it, or the way my partner will? In what ways do I feel shame either about this relationship or about myself that is helping to contribute to the way that I show up in this, right? And then the trauma, right?
Yep.
How is my trauma, not just from this relationship, but from my past relationships, romantic and non-romantic? How am I allowing those things to dictate how I show up today and why? And just working on identifying, you know, what those are in an effort to not just recognize, but also to normalize them. I think, again, there's so much of these conversations, I think, become escalated because we, and like you said, Mark, we tend to dance around this in a coupleship when we're stuck. We dance around the issues because nobody wants to face the reality, right? Which is, I mean, it's fascinating to me, even couples that aren't in this place, how often I will talk to couples. This probably happens 75% of the time when I first start a session. I will ask coupleships, hey, how are you doing? How's the week been? You know, catch me up. And for many of them, they'll automatically, right? Just, well, it's been good.
I know, right?
And to which I want to say, so you're paying my hourly rate just to hang out then today, apparently, because there's not much to work on.
My funny thing with guys just came up this week. So how are things going? And what is the man's like number one typical response? Fine.
Sure. Yep.
Everything's fine. And of course, we know fine, we always joke, is an acronym for feelings I'm not expressing, right?
Yes.
I'm fine.
Absolutely. But again, we do this, right? And we will, that's a subtle example, but in all forms and fashions, we try to avoid that those subjects because they are scary.
Yeah, they hurt. And one of the, you know, part of this as well, maybe to help those who are listening start to have a little bit more self-compassion, a little bit more compassion for the coupleship. We bring, you can't imagine the complexity with all this stuff that you're dealing with. All we see in the coupleship is that, you know, we just argued again. We were just at each other's throats again. You know, I've gone silent again. But the complexities that get you to that place are enormous.
They are.
What was modeled to you as a child? What were all the things that you experienced growing up, the traumas and all of the issues? All of the stuff we bring to this, it's like, my wife and I often joke, we're just like, it is amazing that any man and woman on the entire planet stays together. It's like a miracle.
Absolutely.
When you look at this complexity, you know, just the differences in how the traditional man thinks and processes and the typical woman, and then all the baggage from our past and our families of origin and our different insights and perspectives. And holy smoke, you throw all that into one big pot called marriage, and then we wonder why things don't always go ideally. Hey everybody, Mark and Steve here. Are you looking to take your recovery and your marriage to the next level?
We work with individuals and couples one-on-one.
With both in-person and online therapy options, you have access to the experts anytime, anywhere.
To learn more, visit us at pbscpodcast.com. Absolutely. What I think an important thing to note is that too, is that you don't have to fix all these issues in order to establish a dialogue and in order to make progress.
Right. Isn't that so true?
And it's important to recognize that, because oftentimes that's where a lot of the hopelessness comes from. It's just like, we can't connect. We can't, therefore our marriage is doomed. And they're absolutely, the more you start to dig in and be able to identify and then share with a partner, the more you can find common ground. I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. So with me, most podcast listeners who've listened in by this point know that my dad died in a plane crash when I was 12. And Brittany, just happened the other day. Okay. I'm a therapist. I teach this stuff. I teach Zen and serenity and all these things. Right. And I think I'm pretty good at what I do, but I've done a lot of work around it. I have a lot of awareness around it, but Brittany, it was like a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, she was gone. She went to the store and had some other errands to run. And she was going to be back in like an hour and a half or something. Well, then it got to 2.5 hours. And it got to 4 hours. And then it was like 10:45 at night.
Whoa.
And I'm like, what is going on? You know? And what my brain does in that situation, this sounds really weird to somebody who doesn't struggle with abandonment trauma. but those of you who do will empathize with this. I felt my brain starts to go to this place of, oh my gosh, I've got to plan a funeral. What's my next relationship going to look like? How long before I, you know, what am I going to do? I'm like asking all these questions that my brain wants to go to this place of preempting the fact that something horrible has happened and I've lost my partner. To a person who hasn't endured that sort of trauma, that might not make a lot of sense. To a 12-year-old kid whose dad left one day for work and never came back, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And so we bring all that with us.
Absolutely.
And so it's no wonder that we trigger and we react and we, you know, we knee jerk and we don't often understand why we are.
Yes.
It's all built into those memory banks and that experience. And it just comes gushing out for, you know, any one of 100 reasons.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, the next piece of this, if we kind of move this along, because we could get mired. We're doing really good today, by the way. We're pacing well, everyone. So we're succeeding today. There's hope for Mark and I yet in timekeeping. But once you've kind of normalized this, you're able to establish some sort of dialogue about what's really going on. Again, you may be able to do this individually. You, at this point, may need some therapeutic intervention to help with it. But once you're able to do that, then you've got to each be asking yourself individually from that level of honesty and just being transparent. Do we want to try again or not? And we need to ask that of ourselves individually, and then in some form or fashion, come together as a couple and ask that. And that question has really two precedents. The first is, do we want to try again or not? Meaning, do we want to give the relationship a whole, a chance or not? But also, you're also asking, do I just want to try again today?
Mm-hmm.
This decision oftentimes is one of the things that I'll see hiccup clients in who are caught in this fear cycle, because they keep looking to the past and keep trying to let it, you know, determine the future. And they struggle with this idea of, well, if I'm going to be in, then I've got to be all in. But the reality is what does all in really look like? I can no more determine whether or not I'll be all in on my marriage tomorrow than I can determine whether or not I will relapse tomorrow. I don't anticipate relapsing tomorrow. I've been sober for 6 years in October. I have no plans on that. And I would say the odds are pretty likely that it won't. But I don't have any control over that. Today, I might choose my marriage. Tomorrow, my wife could go have an affair. Again, I don't anticipate that. I don't see that happening. But I have no way to control or dictate that. And that is both frustrating, but also liberating, because in order to choose to try again, you don't need to know if, okay, I'm committed for the next 20 years to, you know, it's ride or die, you know, just ride through this thing. All you have to be able to say is do I want to invest in this thing today?
Well,
and what am I able to invest?
It's such a big issue, because what we find, and I experienced this in my marriage and individually, and I still struggle with it today sometimes. And that is that what we tend to do by the very nature of the human brain is we tend to either live in the past,
yep,
or we tend to live in the future. And so as couples, if we're living in the past, right, you can, when you're looking at all the mistakes and the pain and the trauma of the past, which is legitimate.
Yeah.
We're not saying it's not. You hurt for a reason. It wasn't right. It wasn't fair. You didn't deserve it. That's all true.
Yes.
But in this moment, if I allow all of that past baggage to now determine my interaction right here and right now, I can just see my spouse's face and be triggered. Like that dirty, rotten, you know, blankety blank.
Sure.
Is never, yeah, right. Here comes the past. Completely superimposing and overriding the present moment. Or I can allow the future. He's never going to change, or she's never going to stop smacking me in the chops, right? Mm-hmm. This, we're going to be doing this when we're 90.
Yes.
So,
and I love what you're saying. We did talk about this before the podcast. I always tell clients that the past is unchangeable,
right?
That's not something I can fix. 5 minutes ago, an hour ago, 10 years ago, all those things fall into the past, and I can't undo any of those things. Likewise, with the future is unknowable. There is no way to predict the future.
No.
But as Mark is saying, it is amazing how much, I think it's human nature, not just couples going through this process, but how much energy we all devote to living either in the past or in the future. And those are the two areas that we can't control, when all we can really do is today.
Well, one of the resistance parts you'll see come up, and I felt this, and my wife has felt it, and I know I've worked with a lot of clients who've said the same thing. Well, what are you saying, Mark and Steve? So the past doesn't matter. He didn't hurt me.
Yeah.
My feelings aren't legitimate. We are not saying that.
Nope.
Steve and I will come to the aid and the defense of the traumatized every time.
Absolutely.
Boy, do we feel that with you. But today what we're talking about is how do we have any chance of this working? If we have a desire, if we're willing to at least try, how do you do that? And the only place you can do that is in this present moment.
Yes.
What am I willing to do today as an individual and as a couple? What little thing can I do? And here's another thing we've talked about, Steve. Often as couples, when things are really lousy and crappy and just hurt so much, we want big solutions.
Totally.
What is
a
big thing that's going to fix this now, right?
Absolutely. New therapy concept.
Steve, give it to us, right?
Sure, sure.
And what we have to really, and this is hard. I know it's hard. My wife and I have been through it. It's the little things, the little seemingly tiny things that we do each day And I like to think of them as little tiny deposits to the relationship account, right? It's like, well, what difference can putting a dollar in my little bank account make?
Yeah.
Well, we all know the power of compounding interest.
We've I'm a thousand that. Short. What's a buck?
Right. What's a buck? Right. We've got $1 million deficit in this marriage. You're talking about putting dollars in each day. Are you nuts? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But we can tell you from experience over a long time, that's really the only way this can work. How can I make a little deposit today? And then I think you have a little story, Steve, that I love. When you do make that little tiny deposit, when you're able to do just one little thing a little bit different than your past habits and ruts of, you know, you're like, you celebrate that victory. It's like, wow, look what we did.
Yeah.
And someone on the outside is like, you're excited over that? Like, and to others, sure. It might not be, but to us, like, whoa, did we just do that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've got a, so I'll, I can tell a current story because this is a victory story without, you know, betraying any confidentiality or giving details. But I have a couple that I've worked with for some time, a couple of years now at this point. And we've been doing lots of good work together. Their progress has been slow in a lot of ways because having been married for quite a while, they've got a long history of doing exactly what we're talking about today. You know, feeling stuck in everything from old communication patterns to sexual patterns to, you know, the way that they raise kids. I mean, the whole nine yards. They've kind of gotten tied up in a lot of negative things. And as I've worked with them over the years, progress has happened, but it has been slow. And probably the biggest thing that has held it up until recently has been what we're talking about today. He'll never change.
Yeah.
She'll never be different.
Nope.
We're too old.
Yeah,
we're too old in this process. This marriage is too old to change that course.
Yeah.
And this week, I had this couple, the wife, I meet with both of them individually, and I met with the husband first this week, and he got on the session and was more animated. And this guy isn't a guy who's terribly emotional and terribly, you know, visceral with what he's feeling on the inside. He was more animated than I'd seen him in probably months. He proceeds to tell me this way in which his wife was able to emotionally regulate in a really hard conversation around a particularly difficult issue. And I, as he was relating this to me, we praised it and we celebrated, we talked about it. And it kind of happened with him. But then when I met with his spouse later in the week, I actually got emotional on our session, which I don't do a whole lot. And I always try to let clients know what's going on if that happens. And the reason why I was emotional was because I was just so happy for them. Because to them, and it was also a mix of that and sadness that they weren't seeing it in a bigger way and me convincing them. Because like just what you said, Mark, to anyone else looking on the outside of that relationship, it was such a small thing. You know, it was such a little thing. They had one conversation around a tough topic that went better than it ever had in my time knowing them. And a lot of people would say, well, geez, they got so much more longer to go, right? All of those other messages that we hear. But to me, what I saw with that couple was that allowing and choosing to trust the process and their higher power that can come in and heal their relationship.
Yes.
They chose to lead into the uncomfortable and into the fearful. And I, having known both of them as well as I do, I know how scary that particular topic and issue is for them.
Yeah. That's so cool because, you know, there's so much focus on the negative because we feel it. There's so much pain. There's so much baggage. We just seem to be wallowing in it all the time.
Yes.
So we have to take every little opportunity when we make one little inch of progress forward, right? You celebrate. You're like, give each other high fives and say, wow, it is possible to change. We have evidence.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing I do need to say with the story because it is kind of the critical part. Going back to the husband's session, you know, instead of that old dialogue of she'll never be able to change or we're never going to be able to talk about hard stuff, you know what he said? This is what made me, if you knew this gentleman, this would make you emotional too. He said, maybe we can.
Oh, wow.
I'd never, ever in over 2 years heard that. maybe we can do it different. And even more so, what was even more shocking, it's not an exact quote, but he said, you know, she did such a good job. Maybe I can do it different.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
So you got a wife leading out, you know, in terms of shining that lantern a little bit into the dark and saying, maybe we can. I mean, it's again, so small, but so huge.
Well, one of the things that comes to mind as you're mentioning all this, I'm hearing a word in my head, in my heart, as you're saying this, couple didn't do this alone. Obviously they have you as a great therapist. And also the word that comes to me is grace.
Yes.
Right.
Totally.
If I was really to speak one of the most important things to those who are listening right now, you will never overcome all these things and come back together as a couple by yourselves.
Nope.
You just can't do it. And one of the parts that is so critical that we overlook is this concept of grace. And everyone listening knows Steve and I are Christian.
Yep.
And we have a very strong faith in Jesus Christ. But there's a story, a really super quick story. I remember I heard about a gal who, as a little child, was in Auschwitz in the concentration camp. And as an adult, many years later, she was on the lecture circuit, where she would go around and teach audiences about forgiveness. I mean, there's anyone who can testify of being through the most horrific, hellish trauma imaginable, and then being able to move on and forgive and have a healthy life, it would be her. So she's in front of an audience. She's giving the big speech about forgiveness, and she looks out over the audience and she sees one of the guards from the concentration camp. Can you imagine? He's there.
Yeah.
And at the end of her remarks, he comes up to her with tears in his eyes and he says, "Can you forgive me?" And she said in that moment, she couldn't. She didn't want to.
Yeah.
He reached out his hand to shake her. She said, "My arm wouldn't move. I couldn't do it."
Mm-hmm.
And she said, in that moment, she cried out to Jesus and said, "I cannot forgive this man, but you can. Can you give me your forgiveness in this moment?"
Mm-hmm.
And she said, right then, she felt this pure love wash over her. And she reached out her hand and she shook his. And she said, "I forgive you." But she said, "It wasn't me. It was grace. It was my higher power. It was my Savior, because I couldn't do it." And in these marriage relationships, I know how it feels to be so broken. You need to remember to call upon grace, a power that the two of you don't have. I can't forgive him. And that might be legitimately true.
Yeah.
And so you call on a higher power that says, "Can you give me that forgiveness? Can you give me the grace I need?"
Absolutely. And I, you know, when on that spiritual note, you know, when we are working on these issues, and again, it's not that we don't empathize or connect with it, but I will tell you, the minute you give into that fear and you allow it to become your reality that either he can't change or she can't change, again, this is our spiritual paradigm, but I know a vast majority of our listeners are Christian as well. If you buy into, you know, Christ's sacrifice and what that does, my paradigm, and I know Mark's paradigm, is that that's so much more than just receiving forgiveness for sins or mistakes or whatever the case may be. It has the power to heal and change people. If I look at Christ's sacrifice, the thing that it teaches me on the most basic level is that I do not have to be the same way today as I was yesterday.
Yes.
And that I can be someone different tomorrow than I am today. And so can relationships. We know that many of you have been through a lot. And there, it does come a time and place where you might need to call it on a relationship and say, "We're done," either because one partner isn't willing to move forward, or there could be a variety of issues for that. But I will tell you, I think that the only thing, having stared down the barrel of divorce myself, I think the only thing that would have been worse than divorcing from my wife would have been divorcing and wondering if I could have done something more. And that fear tells you it may not be possible. We're not going to make it. We don't have the hope. But if you can look at the practical reality of it, as I sometimes will do with clients, you're being in the place that you're in now, you're not going to make it anyway.
Right.
So let's either come to a place where we say, "Yeah, we really need to call this thing," or can we entertain and buy into this paradigm just long enough for our therapist to walk us through the process for a little while, to the point where we can see little victories like the one I described. Because once you start to see them, that's when doors in every other area open up. Nobody thought the other day on this phone call that this husband I just described would have been open to talking about three other sensitive topics now, because his wife had talked about a seemingly innocuous one.
Yep, because they have one little victory. Now it's like, I have hope.
Yep.
And that's, so we're going to kind of finish up with our assignment, which is going to sound a little maybe weird or different for us. But if you're a couple right now and you just find yourselves banging your heads up against the same wall over and over and over again, and you just can't make progress, you just feel like you're just so close to ending the relationship. Steve and I will tell you from our own experience that you can't do this by yourselves. You just can't. There's mm-hmm. just too much stacked against you with all that's gone on and your own limited capacities. So you need help. And so our assignment to you, if you can, right when you finish listening to this, is just sit down together and say, are we willing to get some help? And what does that look like? And we invite you to start looking at those resources and take some kind of step in that direction.
Yes.
That's the assignment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's just, guys, in a coupleship dilemma like this, there is just as much, if not more, work to be done on an individual level than there is on the coupleship level.
Yes.
And so being able to turn that mirror towards you, even, and again, we're not saying this absent the trauma or not recognizing that, but in so many cases in these relationships, to some degree or another, it takes two to tango. And even when a spouse has been betrayed, there's a value in looking at it and saying, you know what, I didn't get us into this mess by any means, but are there things that I could be changing about the dynamic currently as it stands, right?
So, and it really helps to have an outside professional help you to look at how to balance that and where are those lines.
When you're this deeply entrenched, I know that speaking to my own experience, I couldn't see it any different.
No.
It was impossible. I got to that point, this was reality. The sky is always blue, the sun rises in the east, sets in the west, and my wife and I are screwed. That's how it really became for us. And so that is absolutely paramount. But we so care about you guys. Thanks for tuning in today. We hope you have a great rest of the day, great weekend, and we will talk to you soon.
Yep. All the best. That's all for today. Thanks for joining us. And remember, the opposite of addiction isn't sobriety, it's connection. Together, we can do the impossible.
To learn more about Mark and Steve and to listen to more podcast episodes, visit us at pbscpodcast.com. Everything expressed on the PBSC podcast are the opinions of the hosts and the participants and is for informational and educational purposes only. This podcast should not be considered mental health therapy or as a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out the clinical guidance of an individual qualified mental health professional. If you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, self-harm, or a desire to harm others, please dial 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.